Welcome to The End of Innocence. I'm your host, John Young. The House Oversight Committee's Task Force on the Declassification of Federal Secrets held a hearing Tuesday afternoon on the release of former President John F. Kennedy's assassination records. Over the next several episodes, we're going to be covering some of the highlights of this very important hearing. In this week's episode, we're going to hear the testimony of author and researcher Jefferson Morley. Plus, we're going to hear a short interview with film director Oliver Stone, who made the movie JFK, and researcher and author James DiEugenio.
From Dallas, Texas, the flash, apparently official, President Kennedy died at 1 p.m. Central Standard Time.
Transparency breeds trust. That's the theme. Today, the Task Force on the Declassification of Federal Secrets held a hearing regarding the JFK files. Oscar winner Oliver Stone made the film JFK, as we all remember. He has long questioned the government's finding that Lee Harvey Oswald was a lone gunman. Stone was called before Congress to testify because of his film, JFK, but also his more recent one, 2021, the documentary JFK Revisited. That's the one to see. Here's a little bit of what he had for Congress.
I asked the committee to reopen what the Warren Commission failed miserably to complete. I ask you in good faith, outside all political considerations, to reinvestigate the assassination of this President Kennedy from the scene of the crime to the courtroom. Let us forgive, but not forget.
I wanted to talk to Oliver, and I wanted to talk to Jim DiEugenio, his production partner, but also a guy who's been studying this and has written four books of his own about the assassination, about why this matters and what still needs to happen. Here's what they said. Oliver, Jim, thank you for taking this opportunity. So, Oliver, let's start with what happened today. And what do you think the significance of the hearing was and where we are in terms of the transparency we should get on the issue of what happened to JFK?
Well, we're working on it. I was here in 1992 in one of these hearing rooms going over this material and trying to explain the film. And I'm back 30 years later. Or 29 years, whatever it is. And, you know, the point is you got to sometimes stick to something. You got to build up the case. It's a cold case with a lot of clues. We don't have what they call a smoking gun that is going to make everybody sensationally happy. That doesn't exist. It doesn't exist in real life for the most part. You need to work at this thing. And that's what we are prepared to do. We came back to do it again. And there's now new information as a result of my film in 91, JFK, which was passed the JFK Records Act, which created the Assassination Records Review Board that existed with limited funds for a few years until 1998. They put out quite a study of what they learned. They couldn't reach a conclusion that was definite and striking, but there was a lot of clues that nobody here ever heard about. That's why we did a documentary, Jim and I, in 2021 called JFK Revisited.
Mm-hmm. So,
but that is a documentary. And that,
right. And Oliver,
in addition to that, we're here today.
Well, we'll get to today, but just to go to how we got to today, you were speaking to me before with Jim about how information that had come out and helped motivate the documentary you two did together was not well reported on in the American media. And how does that inform what we need to know?
Jesus Christ, I can go on. Jim can go on for an hour. First of all, the autopsy. We presented a bookload of information showing that this case was not that original autopsy at Bethesda. coming off, it should have been done at Parkland, but it was done at Bethesda by three amateurs. And essentially, it's been questioned to death. There shows, you know, the major stuff is that there's 42 witnesses that have pointed to the back of Kennedy's skull, the right side of his skull, that was blown out, gaping big hole. Brains had gone, most of the brains had oozed out. But that hole was covered up in the Warren Commission. It's a horrible, horrible...
It was also covered up in the House Select Committee before it, several years later. But with the declassified files by the review board, we now saw that there was matching testimony between Parkland and Bethesda about this blown-out evasive hole in the right rear of Kennedy's skull, which strongly suggests a shot from the front.
So, Jim, why do you think they covered it up?
On the autopsy.
Why do you think they covered it up, Jim? Well, and what do you believe they still should be released?
I believe that this was concealed because they did not want to show the evidence that Oswald could not have produced a shot like that.
The Task Force on Declassification of Federal Secrets will come to order. Welcome, everyone. Without objection, the chair may declare a recess at any time. I now recognize myself for the purpose of making an opening statement. Good afternoon, esteemed colleagues, distinguished guests, and fellow Americans watching today. We stand at a pivotal moment, a juncture where history demands our unflinching attention and our unwavering commitment to the truth. The assassination of President John F. Kennedy on November 22, 1963, remains one of the most defining and haunting events in our nation's history. For over six decades, questions have lingered, shrouded in secrecy and speculation. With the recent efforts made to declassify over 80,000 pages of classified documents, fighting against the requests of redactions, combined with prior releases under the previous administration, we have an unprecedented opportunity to peel back the layers of the dark day and lay bare the facts for all to see for the first time in years. We are seeing a complete cooperation between the U.S. government enterprise. Today marks a historical day in our nation's history. After over 80,000 pages were declassified by this administration and previous documents declassified under previous admins were located at the National Archives, it is time to present the findings to the American people so that they can determine the truth for themselves. What has been alarming to me is the amount of stonewalling the federal government put forward to hide this information from the American people. The days of overclassification in the name of national security is coming to an end. The revelations emerging from these files are nothing short of staggering, discoveries that challenge the long-held assumptions and raise profound questions about what we've been told happened on that day. Investigators poring over these pages have uncovered evidence that demands our scrutiny, evidence that suggests the official narrative may have been incomplete at best and at worst, deliberately obscured. It has become apparent that in this investigation, some factions of the federal government did not want to be transparent. This type of perspective cannot exist in a free and fair society, and today we have called some great witnesses. To be quite honest, we had more, but for various reasons, those individuals did not want to come forward. I also understand the implications that this has on the family, and it is not our objective to reopen old wounds, but to ensure that what happened to President John F. Kennedy can never happen again in U.S. history. That can only be done if the truth is known to the American people and the facts are able to speak for themselves. The courage of those who are here today, experts in their fields, underscores the gravity of this moment. Their testimony will help us piece together a puzzle that has been fragmented for too long. Let me be clear. There are sincere concerns and discrepancies regarding the Warren Commission pushing forward a narrative without all the facts and according to testimony of various witnesses omitting evidence. I would also further argue that the handling of this investigation has largely contributed to the deep distrust the American people have had with the federal government and various intelligence agencies. It is those facts that I hope to present to the American people today. For years, we've relied on a report that, while maybe well-intentioned, was built on a foundation of omissions and half-truths. Now, with these newly declassified documents, we can confront those discrepancies, whether it's inconsistencies in witness accounts, overlooked intelligence, or the troubling indications of interference that investigators are just now bringing to light. This is not about rewriting history for the sake of sensation. It's about honoring our duty to the truth and to the citizens we serve. As we begin this hearing, I ask you to approach it with open minds and steadfast resolve. The American people have waited long enough. They deserve answers, not obstruction. They deserve a government that trusts them with the unvarnished reality, not one that hides behind locked vaults. What we uncover today may unsettle us, but it will also empower us to learn from the past, to protect our future, and to ensure that transparency triumphs over secrecy. Let us proceed with the seriousness this moment demands for the sake of justice, for the memory of President Kennedy, and for the soul of our republic. Our witnesses today are Mr. Oliver Stone. Mr. Stone is an Academy Award-winning director and has directed more than 20 feature films, including JFK in 1991. Mr. James DiGenio. Mr. DiGenio is a researcher and expert on the assassination of former President Kennedy. He's an accomplished author and has written numerous books regarding the assassination of President Kennedy. Mr. Jefferson Morley. Mr. Morley is a researcher and expert on the assassination of former President Kennedy. He is currently the editor of JFK Facts. And Mr. John Davison. Mr. Davison is senior counsel and director of litigation at the Electronic Privacy Information Center, where he works on a number of issues pertaining to data privacy and protection. Pursuant to Committee on Oversight and Government Reform Rule 9G, the witnesses will please stand and raise their right hand. Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony that you're about to give is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God? Thank you. Let the record show that the witness answered in the affirmative. The task force certainly appreciates you for being here today, and we look forward to your testimony. Let me remind the witnesses that we have read your written statements, and they will appear in full in the hearing record. I now recognize Mr. Morley to give an opening statement.
Thank you to all the task force, the House Task Force on Declassification. It's an honor to testify before you. It's a solemn responsibility to report on the disturbing new revelations that have emerged from the newest JFK files. And it is a grave matter to assert that CIA officers were culpable or complicit in the death of a president. So I want fact checkers to have all the evidence that I'm used to support my testimony today. I speak with the benefit of 3 decades of reporting on the JFK story. My first article on the role of the CIA in the events that led to the assassination was published in the Washington Post 30 years ago this week. As I pursued this story, I practiced the tried and true techniques that I learned at the Post. Knock on doors, get 2 sources, follow the money, start with the cover-up and proceed to the crime, and always ask the question, what did they know and when did they know it? I did not start with a conspiracy theory, and I did not go looking for a smoking gun. I started with an open mind and looked for a fact pattern. As I interviewed and reported and researched on this story and the role of the CIA, I consistently avoided judgment on who was responsible, individually or institutionally. My research and reporting simply didn't give me a clear answer to the question, who killed JFK? What was clear over time is a new fact pattern. In the spring of 2023, the CIA fully declassified for the first time its pre-assassination file on Lee Harvey Oswald, the accused assassin who denied killing the president and was killed himself in police custody before he could defend himself. I have a copy here of the CIA's pre-assassination file on Lee Harvey Oswald, and I'm submitting it for the record. The declassified Oswald file runs to, and fact checkers can confirm this, 198 pages. In the fall of 1963, in November of 1963, this file was held in the office of James Angleton, counterintelligence chief at CIA headquarters in Langley, Virginia, not 5 miles from the White House where President Kennedy lived and worked. To be sure, the declassified Oswald file is not a smoking gun. I showed it to journalists whose judgment I trust, and they shrugged. They said, this is evidence of incompetence. CYA, they said, cover your ass. I didn't quite believe that, but I couldn't prove them wrong. Until March 18th. That was the day that the National Archives began posting long secret JFK assassination records that had been withheld from public view for decades. I started by looking at 9 declassified documents about Mr. Angleton. He was the man who compiled the Oswald file. And when I came to a long secret transcript of Angleton's testimony to the House Select Committee on Assassinations in 1978, my reservations about passing judgment on the responsibility vanished. One newly declassified passage showed that Angleton had lied under oath about his surveillance of Oswald's correspondence while he lived in the Soviet Union from 1959 to 1962. And that, for me, was a tipping point. The transcript, which the CIA withheld from public view for half a century, confirmed a disturbing fact. James Angleton is the 3rd senior CIA officer known to have lied under oath about what they knew about the alleged assassin Oswald before JFK was killed. The first was Deputy Director Richard Helms. He lied to the Warren Commission in May 1964 when he said under oath the CIA had only, quote, minimal information about Oswald before JFK was killed. 198 pages of information cannot be truthfully described as minimal. The second CIA officer who lied was George Joannides, chief of the covert action branch of the Miami station in 1963. His agents in the top secret AMSPEL program generated propaganda about Oswald's pro-Castro activities both before and after the president was killed. 15 years later, in 1978, the CIA inserted Joannides into the House JFK investigation, and he blocked any investigation of contacts between Oswald and his AMSPEL agents. Obstructing Congress cannot be considered evidence of incompetence. And this is what I believe, in summary. One false statement might be incompetence. A second false statement might be CYA for the first false statement. But 3 false statements by top CIA officers about Kennedy's accused killer, that is a pattern. It's a pattern of misconduct. It's a pattern of malfeasance. If 3 police officers lie about their knowledge of a homicide defendant, that cannot be considered exculpatory evidence. To the contrary, it shows guilty knowledge and criminal culpability. It is, in a word, incriminating. The new fact pattern leads to a new conclusion. We know now what they knew about Oswald and when they knew it. We know now that Richard Helms, James Angleton, and George Joannides were responsible for or complicit in the death of the president, either by criminal negligence or covert action. My recommendations to the task force are 1, secure and release the personnel file of George Joannides, and 2, ask the CIA to provide a public statement answering the question, why did these 3 men lie to JFK investigators? The answers will help fulfill the task force goal, the president's goal, and the people's goal of full and complete JFK disclosure. Thank you.
If you like what you hear every week and want to learn more about the assassination, please pick up my book, The End of Innocence, The Assassination of President John F. Kennedy. It's available right now on Amazon, or you can find it at www.endofinnocencejfk.com. In honor of the release of the JFK assassination records, I'm sending out signed copies of my book. If you would like one of these, please email me at endofinnocencejfk@gmail.com. The price is $40 for the soft cover and $60 for the hardcover, plus shipping and handling. I can promise you, you won't be disappointed in the book. It's an oversized coffee table style book. The book is over 500 pages with almost 1,000 pictures. You won't be disappointed. And hey, send me your comments about the book or this podcast at endofinnocencejfk@gmail.com. We'll see you next week.